The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. He said to them in reply, "Do you think that the Galileans suffered in this way, that they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or the 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And he told them this parable. There was once a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come to search for fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I suppose I already preached once about John Paul II, but now I'll preach a little bit about the gospel too. A friend of mine who's a priest, Father Don Gutman, he's actually at St. Clair, pretty close to here. When he was a newly ordained priest, he had this gospel reading show up in the Sunday cycle. And so he thought it'd be a great idea because his family business was a nursery, and so he knew all about like fertilizers and trees and how to make things grow. So he brought in some fertilizer and some soil and kind of did the soil, and he was going to talk about what you need to have good soil to grow plants. And anyway, after finishing everything up on Friday, he closed everything down, and then when he came in to do the mass the next day, of course, fertilizer kind of has a smell to it. And so the entire church just reeked of this fertilizer, and he didn't quite know what to do, so he's opening all the doors and trying to find a way to air the place out a little bit. But you know, those things happen. You'll sometimes step out and think, okay, I'm gonna try to really teach this well, and sometimes there's little side effects like that. Well, it's interesting when you look at the way that Jesus preaches, because he talks about fruit, but then in other places he mentions that whatever fruit we might produce, and that would be the good works of faith, you know, that ultimately it depends on God. It doesn't depend on us. What he asks of us is that we are willing to try, willing to actually put something into practice. And so in this parable, for example, you've got this tree that just isn't producing fruit. And, you know, the idea here is that the gardener is putting fertilizer in and trying to give it another shot at it. And, you know, this time that we have here on earth is limited. We don't know how long we have, but we do know that it's a gift. And God's fertilizing us. And that means that he's giving us different tools and different experiences so that we might glorify him and we might help others to know who he is and to be able to have the experience of God in their lives as well. And so it's not necessarily that we have to be John Paul II or Mother Teresa or some of these saints that we hear about, but we should learn from the energy that they put into their faith because it was like they were always looking for, you know, how can I fulfill God's will in my life? How can I take what God has given me and allow it to be something that really does produce fruit, not just in me, but in others? It's almost like a mindset that they were very driven along this way, and they wanted nothing more than to follow God's will and to offer the blessings they've had to others, even though it was not easy for them in many different ways. And you can see this in John Paul II. He did not grow up in an easy time. It was right before World War II. He had lost his mother. Even when he was in seminary, a lot of the time that he was there, they had to hide out because it was considered even illegal for them to be studying to be priests. And then afterwards, dealing with the time around World War II, and then afterwards the Cold War with Poland, that even he was instrumental, actually, in getting rid of communism in that in the end of the Cold War. And he is, you know, also the one that gave us the catechism. So the official church catechism we have was done under his direction. And as I mentioned before, his many travels, I don't know if any of you had a chance to see him when he was Pope, but I actually did have a chance. I was over in Italy at the time, and I remembered because we had the Peruvian nuns that were in front of us, but then other than that, there was no one else, and since the Peruvian nuns were only about this tall, I mean, I was like right over the top, and the Pope Mobile came by. I could have actually jumped in the Pope Mobile as it drove by. It would have been the last thing I did, but I probably could have done that. You know, so I do have a certain attachment to Pope John Paul II because, like I said, he was the one who, he was the Pope I grew up with and the one that was Pope when I was ordained, and he was just such a great figure in philosophy and theology. We do have these giants in our faith that are great examples. And as I said, it's not that we need to be John Paul II, but we can learn from his example. He was one who truly loved the Lord and put his whole life into serving him. And the little things that we do show that, you know, the Lord isn't wasting his fertilizer on us, that it's something that helps us to be who he calls us to be. And we do need prayers of the saints, and we need their example. And so we'll continue to pray at this Mass for John Paul II to help us to be more like him in his example, but ultimately that we can take what the Lord gives us and put it into practice.